Today's shir is Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Samaches. We will begin with the last words. No, actually, we're earlier. We will begin on Daf Samach Zayin Amud Beis, about 8 lines from the bottom. Yanei Iklil Hu Ishpizim. Yanei came to a certain inn. Amalei Ashkemayim. Please give me some water to drink. Karva Shesisa. So they brought him some beverage. He saw that the waiter who was bringing him this water was moving his lips. So he was concerned, as we have been learning, that maybe kishuf was being applied to this water. Shad the portemonnaie, so some of the water was spilled out. And it turned out that it was scorpions. Amalhu, so he said to him, and no shasisim v'detchu. So he said to the person who obviously wasn't the waiter, who obviously was not aware that he had been caught, and said to them, I'm prepared to drink of your water, ata nami shasim medidi, but you should please drink from what I serve you. Ashke, so the waiter, not assuming that Yanai would be doing anything to that water, he drank from the water, have a chamra, and the waiter turned into a donkey. Rochiv, and he rode on that donkey, Solik Lashuk, until he arrived at the marketplace. Asa Chaverta, his colleagues, the waiter's friends came. Pashla, they undid the kishif. Chazia, Rochiv, Akai, Itasa, and everybody saw they was riding on the waitress, Vishuka, in the market. Actually, this is the source that a lot of people have, the minig, that before they drink water, they pour off a little from the tap, based on the Gemara. The pasuk says, "By Makas Tzvardeya in Mitzrayim, Batala Tzvardeya v'tchasas Eretz Mitzrayim." The Tzvardeya covered all of Mitzrayim. Amar Rav Elazar. So Rav Elazar says, "What exactly happened? Tzvardeya achas hoysa. There was one frog, hishritza, that multiplied on molekul Eretz Mitzrayim until it." Populated all of Mitzrayim. So the Rav Zalman Sorotzkin in those Naim L'Toyr explains why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it this way, that he brought one frog, that frog ultimately multiplied. He explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always wants to give people a chance to do tshuva. And the reason he did it this way was he brought this one frog, and the Mitzrayim should realize what is about to happen, and perhaps they'll still do tshuva. Obviously, they didn't do tshuva, and that's what happened. And they ultimately were infested with frogs. Furthermore, the stipler in the Sefer Birchas Peretz quotes Rashi in Chumash that says that actually what happened was they had this one frog that they kept on hitting, and as they kept on hitting that frog, it kept on multiplying. So it's an obvious question. They should have stopped hitting it. If they would have stopped hitting it, then it wouldn't have multiplied. So that's how the stipler teaches us what kas, what anger is all about. And what happens here is that when a person is angry, he loses his intellect. He loses his common sense. Stop hitting the frog. Look what happens every time you hit it. And that's the ill effect of anger. Actually, says the Gemara, this question of what happened by Makas Tzvardeya is Machloikas Tanoim. Rav Tzkiva, because Rav Tzkiva says, Tzvardeya Achas Hois, there was one frog, Umola called Eretz Mitzrayim, which ultimately populated all of Mitzrayim. Amalei Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So Rav Elazar ben Azariah said to Akiva, Maloch Eitzel Hagoda. You're incorrect. Kalach Medebrasecha, Agata is not your field. V'leich Eitzel Nagam V'Halus. You should be learning Halacha. Rather, what happened was, Tzvadei Achas Hoysa, there was one frog, Sharkulahem, which yelled, and based on its calling out, Vehembo, all the other frogs came. So, of course, this is a very difficult Gemara. First of all, why is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah so upset with Rabbi Akiva's opinion? And furthermore, asked the Mashah, what does this have to do with the sugyas that we've been learning? So Mashah says a beautiful pshat. He says, in our previous Gemara, the Gemara taught us that what Kishif could do is that Kishif could not create something new. Rather, what Kishif could do is that it could gather together all of the animals, that all the types of creatures that are in question. And that's why we learned in the previous year that only by Kinim, where new creatures were created, did the Mechashvim in Mitzrayim say Etzbe Lekimhi. So says the Mashal. What does Rabbi Kiva say? Rabbi Kiva says that new Tzvardim, new frogs were created. But if that's what happened by Makas Tzvardeya, so why did the Mechashvim of Mitzrayim, the Chatumim of Mitzrayim, wait to say Etzbe Lekimhi only when they were only at that point? They should have said Etzbe Lekimhi right away when the Tzvardeya were created. The fact that they didn't say it until Kinim is a clear indication that by Tzvardeya there was no new Tzvardeya created. Rather, the Tzvardim just gathered together, which they said we could do the same. That's why Rabbi Kiva's opinion, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, is incorrect, because otherwise the Mechashim should have said Etzbe Lekimhi. And now we also understand how it comes into the sugya, because we're talking about what Kishif can or can't accomplish. So we learned in the Mishnah that Rabbi Kiva taught us that he learned from Rabbi Yeshua how to gather and plant cucumbers through Kishif. Ask the Gemara, V'har Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yeshua Gamala, did Rabbi Kiva learn this from Yeshua? Vatanya. And the Gemara now quotes a long and very interesting braisa. Shechala Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar got ill. Nechnas Rabbi Kiva v'chaverav levakroi. They came to visit him. Hayoshev kinnuf. He was laying in his room in a bed with a canopy. Bekinnuf shaloi. V'hen yoshev mitrakin shaloi. And they sat outside in the hall, in the corridor. Reason being that they didn't want to go in because they didn't know what his mental state was. And maybe he wasn't in a state that he could be visited. Oysuyoyim, that they came. Erev Shabbos, he was on a Friday. V'nichnas hurknes b'noi lachlus tefillin. The law is on Shabbos, we're not allowed to wear tefillin, because as we know, the Pasuk says, v'hoi la'ois ayotcha, and during the week we need a tefillin to be a sign of our special relationship with Hashem. But on Shabbos itself is a sign, and therefore we don't need to wear tefillin on Shabbos. So as Shabbos was approaching, Hyrcanus was taking off his tefillin. And interestingly, Tosfos makes a very important point. Tosfos says, from here we see that the Isser, that the inyan of not wearing tefillin on Shabbos is not limited to somebody who may carry them out, and then why are you wearing tefillin, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? But even Rabbi Elazar, who was confined to his bed because he was sick, tefillin are taken off from. Garba v'yotze b'nezifa. So as Hyrcanus was trying to take off Rabbi Elazar's tefillin, Rabbi Elazar got angry at him and he chased him out of the room. Amal chaveira. So Hyrcanus says to these people that came to visit Rabbi Elazar, k'mdum ani shadata shalav v'nitfa. It looks like my father's losing his mind. Why is he getting angry at me for wanting to take off the tefillin? That is certainly the halacha what should be done before Shabbos. Amalan, as Rabbi Elazar hears Hyrcanus saying this, he's saying, I'm perfectly fine. It's dat cha, v'das imay. It's you and your mother who are nitrifa, are doing the wrong thing. Four, heich menichen es eskila, v'az oiske v'es eshfos. You're worried about wearing tefillin on Shabbos, which there's really no issa deraisa to wear tefillin on Shabbos, whereas you, it was late that Friday afternoon, and you're missing out on doing some very important things that have to be done before Shabbos, which can involve the deraisa. What are they? Your mother has not lit the candles, and if it gets too late and she lights the candles on Shabbos, that's obviously an issa deraisa. And you, as Rashi explains, have not put the hot food, you have not been matmin, the hot food, which we know, hatmana may not be done on Shabbos. And as the Mefarshim explained, even though the Isser of Atmana in itself is only an Isser Rabbanan, however, if you don't properly do it before Shabbos, it could lead chas v'sholem tenis eskila, as we know, there's a concern of shem yat chat b'cholim. You may come to warm up the food in Shabbos and mix the coals, which is an issa deraisa. Kivin shirochacham shadatim yisavus alof. So now I saw that he's actually very in a very good state of mind. Nichnasu v'yoshel l'fonim merochik dalaramus. They came into his room, but they didn't get within dalaramus. Why? Because the Gemara in Masechet Bava Metzia, the Gemara in Masechet Bava Metzia in Daf Nun Tes teaches us that there was a debate between Rebbe Lezer and the Chachamim about the Tanura Shel Achnoi. And Rebbe Lezer didn't want to give in to the Chachamim. And it's the famous Gemara that he got the Shemayim, he got the Masifta the Rikiyah to agree with him. And the Chachamim told him, Loi b'Shemayim. Torah wasn't in Shemayim, Torah is ours. And at that point, because Rebbe Lezer didn't want to give in, he was put into Chayrim. So now, when they're coming to visit him, they didn't sit within Dalar Amos of him. Amalam, so Rebbe Lezer asked them, Lama Basam, why are you coming? Amalai Limit Torah Banu. We came to learn Torah from you. Even though you're in Chayrim, Mefarshim explained, that doesn't prevent us from learning Torah from you. Mefarshim asked, I had a whole house. Is like the Dalar Amos. Again, the Mefarshim explained that Hilchas Chayrim, the Bezna has a right to say what should or shouldn't be mutter. Amalei, so the Amalehem, so Rebbe Lezer says to them, if you want to learn Torah from me, v'ad achshav lam lebasam, so why don't you come till now? Amalei lahayulana p'nai, we didn't have a chance. So some Mefarshim explained that this is the truthful answer. We didn't have a chance, we were busy. Others explained that it wasn't that they were actually so busy from being able to learn Torah. They didn't come because he was in Chayrim, but they didn't want to offend him. So they gave him up with an excuse. We didn't have time. The real reason was because they were in Chayrim. Amalhem, to me, Ani, I am concerned. I'm wondering, if you will die a natural death. Amalhem, Rabbi Kiva, Shalimahu, said Rabbi Kiva to them, said Rabbi Lezer, and what about me? Amalhem, Shalcha, Kashma, Shalhen. You have the most to worry about. Why do you have the most to worry about? Because you're Rabbi Kiva. Mefarshim say number pshatim. You're Rabbi Kiva, and you certainly, the great Rabbi Kiva, could have learned so much from me, and you didn't. So you're going to have to suffer a punishment for not learning. Along the same line, the Gemara says the sviva of nishra ma'oid melamed shakadosh baruch medadikim tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is particular with tzaddikim, so you certainly should have come, and if you're not going to come, if you didn't come, you were punished. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz explains this Gemara, that the concern here was that they didn't show the proper kavod, they didn't show the proper respect for Rebbe Lezer, and that's why they were punished. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that the world needs every word of Torah that's learned. And by them not coming and learning Torah from Rebbe Lezer, they cause that the world shouldn't be missing that those Divrei Torah. And the punishment for that is a very serious one. Notl Shteiz Roisov, he took his two arms, V'nicham and Leiba, and he put them on his heart. His two arms, one pshat I saw is a simple pshat, the people use their arms when they speak in Torah. Another pshat is the Torah is considered about the Mechamtishal Torah. It's not just learning Torah. There's a debate to learn Torah with Gishmak, which are represented with the hands to do battle, but not on Levi, put him in his heart, to show, Mefarshim explained, that he learned Torah, L'shem Shemayim, his heart was pure. And he said, how terrible for my two hands, Shem Kishtei Sifrei Torah, they're like the two Sifrei Torah, Sheniglolin, that are rolled up. Mefarshim explained, what he was saying was, that his heart, his body, are like the Sefer Torah, and his hands are like the Eitz Chaim of a Sefer Torah. We know that at times the Eitz Chaim, the poles of the Sefer Torah, are revealed, and sometimes they're closed. My hands, my Divrei Torah could have been revealed, but you didn't take the opportunity to learn from me. And he said, Harbitari Lamadati, for Harbitari Limadati, I learned a lot and I taught a lot. Harbitari Lamadati, I learned a lot. When I learned all that Torah from my rabbis, I didn't diminish their learning. As much as a dog takes out from the ocean when it drinks, and have a Torah l'manati, and I taught a lot of Torah, v'lechisroni talmidei, and how much Torah did I lose from teaching that Torah to my talmidim, el kamachos b'sheferes. As much as a makeup, then you take some makeup in a tube and you press it, there's not that much that's missing. So the Pashup Shad in the Gemara is, he was speaking with humility. He was saying that I learned from my Rebbe's, it didn't diminish their Torah in any way. But when I taught Torah, it diminished, but not that much. But then I saw a beautiful pshat. He was saying, what is the difference between my learning and the learning of my Talmidim? So Mepharshim explained that when a dog is thirsty, he wants to swallow, and he runs to the ocean, he wants to swallow all of the water of the ocean. He says, "When my attitude to the Torah of my Rebbe was I wanted to swallow all of it up. I wanted to learn all of the Torah. Your attitude was, yeah, we'll take a little Torah, a little makeup out of the tube. When could somebody succeed in learning? If his attitude is that I want to chap and learn as much Torah as possible." And I saw the Mefarshim actually pick up on this pshat, and they go one step further. For they say, it's interesting, when you drink water from the sea, seawater is salty. So the more you drink, the more you want to drink. That's his attitude to learning. The more I learned, my attitude was I wanted to learn even more. That was my geschmack in learning. You didn't have that level. I have 300 halachas just in the sugya about this neged. And nobody came to learn from me. So I saw the Mepharshim ask, if he had all of this Torah to give over, so why didn't he give it over? Mepharshim say, as much as a Rebbe wants to teach, and a Rebbe has what to teach, if the Talmidim don't have an interest in learning the Torah that the Rebbe has to teach, it's meaningless. And that was the claim here. You didn't come to me to learn all the Torah I could have taught you. He said, "I have 300 halachas." Bamilay in a different version is 3,000 halachas. But the tias kshuim, the sugi that we're learning now, how cucumbers can be planted with kishuv. Nobody asked me about this. Chutz man Akiva ben Yosef, except from Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef, and he says what happened. Pamachs anivu hu mahalchem ayin b'derech. We were once walking together on the road. Omli Rebbe lemtani b'natias kshuim. Teach me these halachas. Omarti davechet. So I said one statement, and the smala kol shada kshuim. The entire field got filled up with cucumbers. Omli Rebbe lemtani tintiyosin. You taught me how a field is planted through kishuv. Lemdani akrasin. Teach me how a field can be uprooted through kishuv. Amarti davar achad. So I said a different statement. Niskap sukulam lamachad echad. They all came back to one place. So now they asked them certain questions in halacha. And again, here we have a number of pshatim why these questions were asked. Rashi explains, and this is the pshat that we're going to work with, that these were subjects that they actually had a machloikus with Rebbe Lezer. And they wanted to know if now, at the end of his life, he was agreeing to their opinion, or he still held his own opinion. Again, that's the pshat we're going to learn with. Another two pshatim that I saw is that they never asked these questions of Rebbe Lezer. And they were anxious to know what is his opinion regarding these questions. A third pshat that I saw is that, and the Sefer Chassidim explains the Gemara this way, is that there's a special point that a person should leave the world, if possible, if he's that state of mind, in talking in Divrei Torah. And here they saw that he's about to pass away, so they specifically moved the conversation to Divrei Torah, that he should leave the world in speaking Divrei Torah. The first question that they discussed was as follows. The halacha is that a leather bag is mekabel tumah. But when is leather mekabel tumah? When it has a receptacle. And the question that they asked them was, all the various leather items that the Gemara, articles that the Gemara is going to now identify, are leather bags, but they're sewn shut. So the question is the fact that they're sewn shut a proof that they're no longer a kli kibul, that they no longer considered something that's a receptacle, and that's why they're not mekabel tumah, or is the fact that they were once a receptacle and they still serve as a receptacle, even though they're closed shut. The question is that take away from them that do they still have the din of a kli kibul? And the question was ha'amus. Amus is some sort of a shoe. It's some sort of a thing that they put the shoe on. Hakameya is I've skipped one. Hakadr is a ball. Hamas is the thing that they put the shoe into. Hakameya is what they put a kameya into. Vitzrar hamagolius, they used to put a pearl into a bag and then in a leather bag and then sew that bag together and put it around the animal. Umishkayos ktana, they used to have small weights that they were concerned should not get worn out, so they put it into a leather bag which they sewed up. Amalem hain tameim. He said that they're tar. Now, another question, which is represented with the words v'tamos m'mashahim. The question is, let's say this bag opened up. And we now have a question that we have to put them into the mikvah. So the question is, are the items in these bags considered a chatzitza, and therefore they have to be removed from them before we put them into the mikvah, because you know putting something into the mikvah with a chatzitza invalidates the tefillah, or is it not? So he told them regarding that question, they can be put into the mikvah as they are, even though they have these items in them, they're not chatzitza. Another question, minol shel gaba ha'amos, you have a shoe that's still on the form. And the way shoes were made was they had this form and they put the shoe on it. We know that any article of clothing or a shoe are not mekabel tumah until they're finished. They're completely prepared, completely manufactured. Now the question is as follows. The shoe is still on the form. But taking the shoe off the form is no big deal. You don't have to be a professional to do it. So now the question is it considered, once it's on that late step of the process, ready a shoe, and therefore it's susceptible to tumah? Or the fact is that it wasn't taken off the form, even though anybody could take it off the form, until it's taken off the form, it's not a keli, and it's not mekabel tumah. Again, minol shel gabei amos, the shoe that's on the form, mahu, is it mekabel tumah or not? Is it considered a finished keli or not? Omelan, and he responded, hutar. It's still tar, it's not considered a finished keli. And as he said those words, v'yotz nishmas b'tahara, saying the word tar is the way he left the world. Amar Rabbi Shua Raglev, Rabbi Shua stood up, v'amah huta aneder huta aneder. As we said earlier, Rabbi Lezer was a cheirim. He says the cheirim is taken off. From here we see that a cheirim can be taken off even after the person left the world. Furthermore, the reason he said huta aneder twice, explained the Mefarshim, is both in this world and in the Bezdin Shalmata, and in the Bezdin Shalmala, your Cheirim is no longer there. The Matzah Shabbos, Pogeba Rabbi Kiva ben Kisri Lelod. Rabbi Kiva found the funeral procession going from Kisri to Lod. And here too, the Mefarshim, the Paiskim say, based on this Gemara, how we see again, I think we've spoken about this, that according to Jewish law, we're supposed to try to do the Levaya as quickly as possible. And that's why Matzah Shabbos, right away they did the Levaya. Hayimakam b'psara, and as Rabbi Kiva met this funeral procession, he hid himself, until his blood came out. So Taisus asks the obvious question. There's a din in the Torah, Seret l'nefesh l'sitnu. When somebody dies, we're not allowed to hurt, we're not allowed to do that. So how did Rabbi Kiva do so? So I saw a number of terutzim. Taisus says that he wasn't doing it because of the passing of Rebbe Lezer. He was doing it because of the Torah that was gone. The Torah that's gone is a different point. Another pshat is that it's only also when you do it b'sirita, cutting yourself. He wasn't cutting himself. The Gemara says hakar. He was hitting himself. Meiri says a different teretz. The Meiri says that he was doing it not in front of the nifter. And the Isra of Seret L'Nefesh L'Sitnu is only in front of the Nifter, not in front of the Nifter. But ask the Aruch Lener another question. The Aruch Lener says that the halacha is that you're not allowed to hit yourself. You're not allowed to cause yourself a wound. So how is he causing himself a wound? So one tirutz that he gives is that he didn't really intend to hurt himself. It just happened. Not sure, again, because of the kavod haTaira, even for that, it's mutter. And in fact, this Tosfos is the basis for a very famous psak of the Noida Yehuda. When the Pnei Yeshua was nifter, the Pnei Yeshua left a tzava that no hesped, no eulogy should be said on him. Noida Yehuda said that a hesped should be said. And he based it on this Tosfos. He says, when it comes to a question of kavod haTaira, even though we have a concept of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis, we have to do whatever the meis says, kavod haTaira supersedes all of those requirements. His Talmud, the Noida Yehuda's Talmud, the Tshuva Me'ahava, disagrees with his Rebbe. He says, here, the pshat is, that there is, as Tosfos is learning, is that kavod haTaira teaches us that there's no isser of Srita, but there is no concept that kavod haTaira tells us that there is no din of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis. The Shor Mitzrayon Balocha quotes a very interesting pshat from the Darki Tshuva. He says as follows, why indeed is the halacha, that, as Tosfos quotes, a pasuk in the Torah, that we're not allowed to make a cut in our body when somebody passes away? Says the Darki Tshuva. Because what we're showing by cutting our clothing, by tearing kriya on our clothing, but not on our bodies, it's the song that when a person leaves the world, it's only the gashmius, the outside wrapping that's leaving the world. But the neshama, the ruchnius, is not touched. That lives on forever. However, says the Darki Tshuva, that when a person, like Rebbe Elazar, leaves the world, it's not only the gashmius that gets affected. The Torah that he learned, the tzitkus that he lived, also the world loses. For such a person, you could tear even the body, because the neshama, the ruchnius, has also been affected. Pasach la b'shura, so Rabbi Kiva started saying, "Vam avi ravi," as Elisha said when Eliyahu left the world, "Rechav Yisrael parashav." Harbi yimayis yeshli. I have a lot of money. Ve'engli shulchani lartzon. I have a lot of Torah, but I don't have anybody to ask. So what do we see? That this is after learning the long braisa, now we get to the question that's relevant to our sugya. Our Mishnah said that he learned it from Yeshua, but here we say we learned it from Belezer. Almam Rebbe Elazar Gomra answers the Gemara. Gomra Rebbe Elazar, he learned this from Rebbe Elazar, v'loy Savra, but he didn't understand what Rebbe Elazar taught him. Harder Gomrim Rebbe Yeshua, but then he learned how to plant Kishuin with Kishif for Asbra Nilei. Rebbe Yeshua was able to explain it to him that he should be understand. Ask the Gemara, Hechi Avid Hachi, how did he do so? Vanan Tanan, Hoysa Maisa Chayiv, you're not allowed to do Kishuv, this has been a primary subject of our Perek. Answers the Gemara, here his goal was L'Slamet Shani. He was doing it to learn its Mutter. Domemar, L'Simet Lassois, Lassois Yatalamid, you're not allowed to learn Kishuv to practice it. Atalamid, you may learn Kishuv, L'Havin and L'Hairis, to know. Why do you have to know to know? So Pasha Pshat, the Mepharshim explain, is because a Dayan, if a case is brought in front of him where someone is accused of having done Kishuv, how will Dayan know if he indeed violated and did Kishuv or not? He has to know what Kishuv is all about, that he should be able to paskin if it was violated. Another Pshat that I saw is that, of course, a Dayan is not allowed to do Kishuv. But let's say somebody, Rahman al-Tzalan, as we actually learned such cases earlier in our Shia today, was affected by Kishuv. And now he's in trouble. So the Rav has to know Kishuv, how to get the Kishuv, the antidote to Kishuv, to take the ill effects of Kishuv off this individual. Hanun lach Abba Mises, Hanun lach Abba Mises, Hanun lach Abba Mises. We begin the next parak, which primarily discusses the subject of Ben Sarir Meir. And as the Rishonim explained, Ben Sarir Meir is another example of someone who's chayiv skila, which was the primary subject of our previous parak. However, since the halachas of Ben Sarir Meir are quite numerous, so the Chazal decided to devote a specific parak to the subject of Ben Sarir Meir. So says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, Ben Sarir Meir, Me'emisai Nasa Ben Sarir Meir, when does somebody become a Ben Sarir Meir? From what, at what age? Mishyavish Deisaris, after he's 13 years old, and he brought two hairs and the Mokum Hazachrus, Vachi Yaakov Zokna Tachtam, until the entire area there is full of hair. However, when we speak about the beard being full of hair, it doesn't mean the facial beard. It means the beard, the hair at the Mokum Zachrus, Loya Elyon, not the beard on the face. Al Shadibra Chamim, Beloshen Nekiyah, Chazal didn't want to speak in an inappropriate manner, so that's why they called it the beard. Shinemar, Kiyah L'ish Ben, Ben, the halacha of Sarah Meir applies to sons, V'loy Ben, V'loy Bas. Ben, V'loy Ish, Ben V'loy Ish, when he's still a son, but now when he's an adult. Cotton, a cotton is potter, a cotton can't be a Ben Sarah Meir. Why? Shleibol Chal Mitzvahs, he isn't yet of age. Ask the Gemara, cotton, the last thing we just learned in the Mishnah was that a cotton can't be a Ben Sarah Meir. Ask the Gemara, cotton, Manolan, the potter. Says the Gemara, what's your question? Manolan, Kriptani Tama. The Mishnah was very clear, Shleibol Chal Mitzvahs, that he's not of age. Furthermore, ask the Gemara, the Su, Heichen, Ashkechon, the Onesh HaKosov, where do we have a precedent that the Torah gives a cotton, an Einish, the Hoch Lebar Kroel Miftalari, that here we need to have a Pasuk to say that he's exempt? So the Rishayim ask, the two questions are essentially the same. What is the Gemara pointing out with the two questions? And in fact, I did see there are Rishayim that take out the first question from the Gemara, because the Gemara isn't really adding anything with the second question. But I saw a nice pshat. The Ran says this pshat. The Gemara's second question is as follows. Absolutely. A cotton is a cotton. And a cotton's not chayav b'mitzvahs. But we know that Bezdin has the ability, when they see fit, to administer punishments. So maybe Bezdin here should have the right to decide that even though this individual is a cotton, he should be subject to punishment. To which the Gemara says, we have no precedent in halacha that a child, that a cotton, is ever punished, that here we should say that the child is punished. Says the Gemara, a non-hachik krimirin. Our question is as follows. Ought the ben tsarim meirer a chetoy nerek? Is a ben tsarim meirer killed because of an averi he did? He really didn't do anything that terrible that he should be deserving of death. Rather, al shem seifer nerek. As we're going to learn in the Gemara, the Ben Sarim Meir is taken from the world before he develops into a very serious Russia. So suggest the Gemara, the Kiv and Dal Shem Seifer Nerag, since he's taken away from the world because something that he'll end up doing, so we should think that I feel Katnami, that only even a cotton should be subject to be Ben Sarim Meir, Void Ben Vlayish. Once the Torah uses the words Ben, I would think that cotton mashma, I would think that a cotton indeed is included in the parasha ben sarim meirer. Amarav yud amarav, damakrav chi liish. Ben has some kuvrasa shalish. Then no, if he's a child, he's not a ben sarim meirer. He has to be close to the age of an ish, which we're going to discuss more in a moment. So here the Torah says that a ben, that a child, perhaps should have been a ben sarim meirer. Ask Rav Chaim Brisker. We've learned actually earlier in our Masechta that any din Torah has to take place in front of the Baal Din, has to take place in front of the defendant. So how can we have a din Torah on a cotton? A cotton ain't by das. So every din Torah that would take place in front of him is shaloi b'fanav. How can we suggest, how could the Gemara have had a havimina that a cotton should become a ben sarim meirer? How can we ever have such a din Torah? So Rav Shach and the Sefer Evi Ezri says that the Gemara and the Havamina assume that that's all part of being a Ben Sarim Meir, that that's the Chiddush HaTorah of a Ben Sarim Meir. Rav Chaim Brisker, very similar pshat, says that that's what the Gemara meant Al Shem Seifer. Al Shem Seifer teaches us that a Ben Sarim Meir is unlike any other subject in Halacha. In Halacha we don't find that a person, we look about what may be, what will be. We look at the here and now. Here we have a new concept of Al Shem Seifer. Included in that concept of Al Shem Seifer, says Reb Chaim, is that the cotton should be judged even though he has no das, and technically it's considered Shloi B'fonav. But then I saw, based on this Gemara, a very fascinating tshuva from the Eretz Tzvi. The Eretz Tzvi was Rabbi Aryeh Tzvi Frumer, the Kozlug of Aruf. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Lublin Yeshiva after Rav Meir Shapiro was Nifter. There's a very famous question that many, many Paiskim can discuss. What is the halacha if somebody becomes bar mitzvah during the Sfira? Because we know the halacha is that if somebody misses counting one day of the Sfira, he can no longer count Sfira with a bracha. Because there's a concern in halacha that all the days of Sfira are one long mitzvah, and therefore if you miss part of the mitzvah, you're not eligible to count anymore with a bracha. So even if you'll have a child that was counting every night until his bar mitzvah, which takes place in the middle of the Sfira with a bracha, just as I just said, the act of a katan is not halachically meaningful. So therefore it turns out that we have here a person that didn't count till now, technically with a bracha. So if you didn't count one night with a bracha, or many nights, we don't know one night, the child can become bar mitzvah deep into the Sfira, he should no longer be able to count. Which is indeed the opinion of many paiskin, that if a child becomes a gadol, an adult during the Sfira, he can't count. Because it's going to be a question now, he's a gadol, and if he makes a bracha that he's not supposed to, it's a bracha of atala. And as the Pais can point out, it's very different than, let's say, a child becomes bar mitzvah mil Pesach. Let's say a child becomes bar mitzvah mil Sukkah. So what he was doing till now has nothing to do, his chiv sukkah of yesterday has nothing to do with his chiv sukkah of today. Every time you eat a meal, you have to eat in the sukkah. So the fact that yesterday he wasn't a bar mitzvah has no bearing on today. Today he's bar mitzvah. Today he has to eat in the sukkah. That's the psak of many poskim, that a child that becomes bar mitzvah mil the sfira doesn't make a bracha. But he, the Shaul Zechuvas Eretz Tzvi, has a very interesting chiddush. He says, just like our Gemara taught us regarding a ben Sora Meir, there's a concept of Hashem Soifai, that we look at him now to cotton towards the future. The same is regarding a Dvar Mitzvah, that we look at Hashem Soifai. And therefore he says, if Halacha considers valid the concept of Hashem Soifai, if we have a child who was careful to count Sfira every night with a bracha until the night of his Bar Mitzvah, that sphere counting is considered halachically valid al shem soifai, and he can continue counting for the rest of the sphere with a bracha. That's Yaakov Zakar HaTachten. Tanam Chia, Ach Yaakov HaTorah. What does it mean, Zakar HaTachten? The Torah part of the Zachras. Says the Gemara, Ki Asra Avdimi Omar, what does that mean? HaKofas Gid. The Gid has to be covered with hair, V'loi Kofas Beitzim, which, as the Rishonim all explain, comes earlier, the Gid is covered with hair before the Beitzim are covered with hair. Amar Rav Chisda, Katan Shahoilid, a child that has a child already, Ein Benoy Nasa Ben Tzari Meir. That means if somebody is born that his father was a child, was a Katan, then that person cannot become Ben Tzari Meir. Shinamar, Kiyil Ish Ben, Ish, only if his father was an Ish, an adult, when he was a Ben, when he was born, can that child become Ben Tzari Meir? V'lo Ben LeBen. Not if he was born to someone who's still a child himself. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that that's what this Pasuk is teaching us? Haimi Boy L'Chadi Rabbi Yehuda Merav. Don't we need this to teach us what Rabbi Yehuda Merav taught us? That Ben has Samach L'Gvaros Shalish. That what age does somebody become a Ben Tzari Meir? So how can we say it's coming to teach us that a child born to a child is never going to be a Ben Tzari Meir? Answers the Gemara, Im Kain, Lemakra Kiyah Ben Leish, My Kiyah Leish Ben, Shmamino L'Chadrav Chizda, to teach us that if the father is not an Ish, this person can never become a Ben Tzari Meir. Ask the Gemara on the other hand, Vemakulul Hachyudasa, maybe that's what this Pasuk only is coming to teach us. Answers the Gemara, Lemakra Ben Leish, My Leish Ben, Shmamino Tarti. Comes to teach us both halachas. Both that the father has to be an adult, and that the person who's going to become Ben Tzari Meir has to be Samach L'Gvaros Shalish. Says the Gemara, or Pligi the Rabbah, this Gemara, which seems to indicate that a child can have children, is in disagreement with what Rav said. Dama Rabbah, Rav's opinion is Katan and Meilid. Somebody who he himself is a Katan can never have children. Shnemar Im Ein L'Ish Goyel. The Torah speaks about the Parsha where somebody falsely swore regarding stealing from somebody, and then he admits that he lied, he swore falsely, that the halacha is that he has to bring a sham gzeilus and he has to return what he stole plus a fifth. And the Torah says if the person that he stole from is no longer here and he doesn't have any yarshim, so that money should be given to the kayanim. So ask the Gemara, the pasuk says in English goyel, if somebody doesn't have a yarshim. Ask the Gemara, v'chiyesh l'cha adam b'yisrael she'en l'goyel, everybody who's a born member of Klai Yisrael ultimately has a relative, maybe not such a close relative, ella b'gezel ha'goyer kos b'daber. The Torah is speaking about that the victim was a ger, and gershin is guy who could cut the shenoyel adami, he has no relatives. V'am rachmona, ish at the tzarech lachs or love im yesh l'goyelim. If the ger was an adult, so an adult ger, we have to check perhaps he had children after he became a ger, and those children are his legitimate yarshim. Im yesh legoyalim bimlav, cotton, but if he's a cotton, iyak tzarech lach salof, but if the child that passed away was a ger cotton, how is he a ger if he's still a cotton? He became a ger together with his mother, biyadua she'en legoyalim. So we see that he has no goyalim. So here, Rava is teaching us clearly that a child never could have any children, which is in dispute what we just learned from Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said that we could have a situation that a child does have a child, and Rav Chisda taught us that that child can never be a Ben Sarah Meir. Rav Chisda and Rabbah, it seems, are arguing.